In this session, titled Distinction in Type of Work, Dr. Schleifer addresses the common problems associated with the risks of changing from one type of construction work to another. Problems such as not knowing your specialty, that is, the specific type of construction work that a contractor has been successful at in his certain work area and of his typical size. Also lacking the experience of being able to see the subtle differences between the projects he's familiar with and a new type of construction job that may appear to look like the same type of work. A contractor must know the risks when attempting to take on projects that are not typical of his field. And now, let's join Dr. Schleifer.
Let's look at change in type of work. This one, particularly for specialty contractors, can happen without anyone noticing it. We've talked about project size, geographic area, the third most popular. These, by the way, are in the order of popularity as to how many of the companies in the database suffered from them. Change in type of work, you wouldn't go out and bid plumbing work if you're an HVAC contractor. And you're not going to bid concrete work if you don't do concrete work. But how many of us change the type of work that we actually do when our history has been real good in putting in round duct, but now we go to a hospital and they want it all rigid and a different spec? Is that the same job? Is that the same kind of work? It's an absolutely different type of work. The difference can be subtle. If we are the sum and substance of our experience, then we need to measure carefully the type of work we do and understand that which we profit from. In the turnaround work that I do, going to help underperforming companies, I've actually taken companies out of a certain line of work, and that's all I've had to do, and they're successful again. Because they never measured it as a type of work. I mean, if you're building one-story buildings, if you were a building contractor and you build about 10 a year, why don't you just build one 10-story? Right? You get it all in one place. It's not the same. It's different. We're getting into the type of work question. We've already talked geographic area. Type of work can change subtle. You'll know better than I what work you're good at. We didn't define in geographic area our geographic area, and I can define each of your geographic areas for you. Your natural geographic area is the one in which you always make money. Any of us got an area we make money and we always take jobs beyond it, and those are always the risky ones? So our area, the one we're natural to, our type of work is the same thing. There are certain types of work or types of owners. By the way, change in type of work can be change in type of owner. Same thing. Doing the exact same job for a different kind of owner can be very different. Anybody who works for the Corps of Engineers and for the State Highway Department can tell you the difference. You got to know how to work with the Corps and you got to know how to work with the highway, but don't put the same guys in the same management positions because it's a different set of rules. And once you know them, you can do them. But if you've been enjoying doing private work and then you do your first Corps job, give me a break. They wallpaper the job. In other words, if you don't start out right, you can't win the paper war, so you can't make a profit. So if I do the exact same kind of work for a different owner, I've changed my type of work. If I always make money doing one type and size of job and sometimes make money doing another, then I know what my type of work is. It's that which I do best. The problem is you can't get enough of it. Your appetite for work demands that we do other things. As a matter of fact, most of your companies, I'll bet, if you look back in their history, started doing one thing and now do 6, 8, 10, 12 different types. And you had to. It's the way you grew. All I want to point out is there's risk each time we do it because we get outside the sum and substance of our experience. We get outside of our experience envelope and we're at risk. So I'm going to take a job that's got, I don't know, a specification for zero leakage or a clean room or, you know, something really elaborate. It's the same kind of work I do, except it's got to be even tighter spec. I want that job the first time I take one. Sometimes I can't design the job I want, but I just assume that job wasn't twice as big as anything I've ever done because I know I'm doing it for the first time. I want to get experience in that. Same with geographic area. I want to test this other area because I think there's a market for me there, but we need to try to control that risk by size of job. I can hire people that are experienced in that. I can joint venture. There are lots of ways to change type of work. I got to tell you a funny story about a utility contractor that changed type of work without recognizing it. This particular contractor had been a foreman, superintendent, project manager, quit the company he was working with, hired a few machines, lease purchase, got into the business and competed with his former company. It's the American way. A lot of us have done it. It's fine. He steals a few of the employees from the old company and he goes into the sewer business. He's putting in gravity sewer. It's in an area where all the homes are septic systems and the towns all around are going to a sewer system. So he's bidding the collection work, and there's lots of it because the treatment plants are in and the town is committed to hook up everybody in town, which is the way it happens when you switch from one to the other, one system. So there's lots of work around. And he is plowing in gravity sewer systems all over the county and making money. Company was 11 years old. I was glad it wasn't under 10 or I wouldn't be able to have used the example in the database. Company was 11 years old when I met them, and they're gagging. They're really hurting. They're upside down in the hands of their surety. And I look at the mix of work, and about half the work he's doing is gravity sewer. Everybody know I'm talking about gravity sewer? That is, the flow of the surge runs by gravity, and the other half is force main. That is, low areas in town where the sewer is pumped up ductile iron pipe, so that the pipe, of course, is always full and it's under pressure. It's a different, still a collection system, but it's pumped surge. And he was really good at gravity sewers and making some money and wasn't making any money on ductile iron pipe or force main. And about half the work he had was either pure force main jobs or part gravity and part force main, and those jobs were not making money. So the guy was actually a gravity sewer contractor, but there's no such definition of a contract. You're either a utility guy or you're not. He didn't realize he was not a ductile iron force main contractor. He didn't have the expertise within the company. I asked the estimator one day, I said, you know, I noticed we're not making any money on any of the force main work, and that 4 or 5 years ago, you guys did none. And if I go back only 3 years, you did very little of it. He said, yeah, we noticed that too, so we lowered our unit prices. Right? I mean, he wasn't competitive in force main, so he found out how to be competitive, and you can only get so much, so they figured out what it was to get it, but they didn't have the expertise. The test that they were subjected to on gravity sewer, and we're talking about reinforced concrete pipe from the dead end of a street, might be only 8 inch, to 12, 18, 24 inch concrete pipes and manholes in the street and whatnot. And the test for that is they would have to plug the bottom, a downhill manhole, usually with an airbag, and fill the system with water. It might go one block, two blocks, three blocks. It's an exfiltration test. They had to fill all their pipes and manholes with water and then measure the distance from the top. An inspector would measure the difference from the top of the manhole to the top of the water. And the water wasn't supposed to exfiltrate out of the system. Now, it's allowed to go down a little bit by a formula. There's a certain amount of seepage and evaporation and everything else, and a small amount it can go down. Well, his technology and his expertise within his organization was limited. When he'd go out to test his exfiltration test, he'd go out early in the morning to see how he would do it. And as long as he was going there, he didn't take his pickup truck, he'd take the tank truck. And he'd go out, and if it dropped a little, he'd add water and he'd help it out a little. So he would pass most of his exfiltration tests and he was making money. Now, I'm not saying he should do this, and certainly you guys would never do anything on a test, but it's a comical story. I'm on the job one day delivering payroll because I was in that general area, and one of our jobs was to provide, was to spot check payroll in supported companies who are being supported by their bonding company. And he's there, and we're talking, he and I, and there's an inspector making a big fuss over the manhole. He says, excuse me, man, I got to run over and talk to this guy. He runs over, and the inspector has measured yesterday's test, and the water has come up in the manhole. Now, there's a real problem here, and this contractor, I told you he was a gravity sewer contractor. He was a gravity sewer contractor extraordinaire. He runs over, and he starts yelling and screaming and talking to this guy, jumping up and down, and you know you're winning if you're moving towards a guy and you're backing up the inspector. Anybody ever had to take the hard way and just try to dominate the whole thing? Happened to be in the East, in New Jersey, we call words, just throwing words at somebody. Sometimes when you see it on television, we forget even what to say, and we go, ba-da-beep, ba-da-beep, ba-da-bing, bing. We just talking. So he gets this guy confused. And he finally tells him, I'll tell you what we'll do. it's a Friday, will both measure right now, and they both take out their rulers. Right? This is back when men were men. We took folding rulers. We didn't have tapes then. We folded our rulers, which you don't see too many anymore. They both take out their rulers, and they both measure. I mean, they could have used one, but they both measure. And he says, I'll pay the overtime. I'll meet you back here tomorrow morning at this time, and we'll measure again. The inspector, he just wants out of there. And this guy's got him so confused, he's told him that either the water table in the area is so powerful it pushed water into the system, or his ruler was wrong. Maybe he measured wrong the day before. So he's got him really shaken, and the guy goes away. Contractor comes back over to me and rejoins the conversation he and I were having, and I said, don't tell me. And he says, don't ask. And that's where we left it. Because I'd seen that gimmick before, and that's when I first found out how he fixed his tests. On the ductile iron now, we're supposed to hold 75 pounds for 2 or 3 days. Well, it's too much pressure, air pressure, in these systems for the quality of work he's doing, and we're not passing any tests, so we're putting most of the ductile iron in 2 or 3 times. I come on a job a different day, and this foreman I'd gotten to know was really good foreman. On his crews, we usually made money. And he's coming up out of a manhole screaming and cursing in 3 different languages. And I said, Guido, what's the matter? What's going on? And he says, oh, this damn inspector, he's going on and on. They're just upset about this inspector. And I said, what happened? What happened? He said, he goes in the manhole over that end. He puts a light in the pipe. He says, he come over this manhole, goes down in the manhole. He looks through the pipe. He expects to see the light. I said, I know inspectors are like that, right? He wants to see if the pipe is straight. He says, you can't see the light, the pipe, it goes like that. The pipe isn't supposed to go like that. This guy's crews don't understand that the contract calls for dead straight, so that when the inspector does a lamp test, he expects to see the other end of the pipe, and this pipe goes to both sides of the excavation and then some, and up and down, and I don't have to tell you, we tear them out. Do it again, not pass the test. On average, he built all of his ductile iron 2.5 times. So he's not with us today. He changed the type of work he was doing and didn't know it. To him, it was all sore, but the capabilities of his group, his organization, smaller company, in the field, were what they were. He just didn't recognize them or measure them. If any of us have gone out on a more sophisticated job or a different type of job and it didn't do as well as we expected on the bid, that might be the reason, right? We're asking our people to do something that they don't happen to do every day. They try, they work hard, they do it. It's just not the same.
In the construction business, you turn over a lot of money, and only a very small portion of that stays with you. Therefore, it is imperative that you understand exactly where your expertise lies and how it makes money for you. You not only need to know what type of work you do best, but also the subcategories of work that you do better. You can then move forward in that type of work with confidence and reduced risk. Once you have accomplished this, you can decide for yourself how much more risk you want to take on as you expand and grow. If there isn't enough of your type of work around to satisfy your appetite, be extremely careful about going after work that poses a higher risk for your organization. Remember, if your volume levels off or even drops slightly because you are going after and getting only the type of work you are best at, then your profits are likely to grow without any increase in volume or risk. The more you do at your specialty, the better you will become at it. Real profit growth as opposed to volume growth comes when an organization levels out and everyone has enough time to devote to the work on hand, including the bidding. When you're not rushed or overworked by growth, you'll have time to make improvements in the work you do. As you fine-tune your skills and your specialty, you will find tremendous profit potential. Real growth occurs when you are making more money on less volume with little risk involved. If you continue to operate like this for a while before expanding into other types of work or bigger jobs, you will at least have a greater cash reserve and more experience when you take on the greater risks. If you must move into different types of work, evaluate all of the risks first and proceed with caution. Test the water with a smaller job first to minimize your exposure. If it doesn't work, you can withdraw gracefully and try something else. Never bet the whole company.
Changing type of work, you measure it, you watch it, and if you can help it, do it in the smaller size rather than the large, till we absorb that type or size of work.